Morning, everybody. We do welcome you all to our Sunday morning service. Good to be with you. Good to all be together, really, in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's open our time this morning by hearing the words of the psalmist in Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we read, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply, their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. But you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Let's rise and sing together our opening hymn, which will be up on screen, "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken." Thank you. We bow before him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do bow in your presence. We come before you and we worship you. You are the great and the almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. We bow before you and we worship this morning. Thank you that we are in your house this day. And may, Lord, all that we say and do here be acceptable in your sight, we pray. Bless other such gatherings in our land today as the church throughout the land, Lord, meets and in fellowship and to worship and to hear your word being proclaimed. We ask you to bless, Lord God. We do pray for you'd speak to people, strengthen your church and add to it this morning. We ask it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law. Lord, without Christ, we'd have no hope at all. But thank you, Lord, though we have sinned in your sight, Jesus has paid the price for our sin by his death at the cross at Calvary. And the price for the sins of your people has been paid. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore. Thank you for the glorious gospel message and the plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that all who call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever will may come, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Heavenly Father, help us be faithful in witnessing for you, Lord, and being your ambassadors in our world and in this corner where you've blessed us. And help us to be faithful in sharing and passing on the message of the good news of hope and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. Thank you for sending your Spirit. May we, your people, be a Spirit-filled people. Guide us as a fellowship, we ask it. Make us, Lord God, a faithful witness here in the place where you've put us. We pray, Lord God, we know, Lord, it's over 2 years, well over 2 years, Lord, that we've been vacant, and we ask you to guide us as a fellowship regarding the pastoral situation here, Lord God, and in time you'd lead us to an under-shepherd, somebody to take on the work of the ministry, Lord, we pray. A man of God, we pray for this. But help us, Lord, to be faithful, and sometimes it means just taking a step of faith, Lord God. But help us to be faithful and obedient to your will. Lord, we're mindful there's lots of, pray for people who are not able to be with us today. We're mindful there's lots of bugs and colds and sore throats and things on the go just now. We do pray for a healing touch. We do pray that you'd strengthen people not able to be out at the house of the Lord this morning for whatever reason, Lord God. You know all the personal situations, Lord, and we just pray you'd minister to people, wherever they may be. Lord, we pray you'd speak afresh from your word this morning. We do pray, Lord, bring it home. Lord, we do ask your blessing upon the ministry of the word. Pray, Heavenly Father, for our nation as a whole. We are concerned about some of the bills being passed in the different parliaments, Lord God, and we just bring these matters before you, Lord God. Help us to keep on praying about them, Lord. We do pray, Lord, for Christians in places of influence, Lord, you help them to speak up, Lord, be a positive influence in this situation. And Lord, we do pray for a spiritual and moral healing for the nation. Righteousness alone exalts a nation, as your word says, sins are reproach to any people. We're mindful of the international situation as well. We've got to pray for peace in places where there's war, peace in the Middle East, peace in Iran. We pray for an end to this conflict, Lord God, for a peaceful settlement. Pray, Lord God, for peace in the Ukraine as well as the conflict rages on, and in other troubled spots where there is war, Lord God. We do pray, thank you that you're in control, your hand is on the situation, Lord, and we do pray that you'd work in the situation, protect and bless and build your church, we pray. And we do pray, Lord God, for peace. As your word says, may the nations praise you, may all the nations praise you. Well, there's oppression against your church in different countries of the world, Lord. We do pray for more tolerance and leniency. And we do pray, Lord God, you'd bless our brothers and sisters going through persecution and hardships. Lord, may they know your grace and your presence this day, we pray. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, for many unreached, Lord, many still to hear. We do pray for the spread of your word. Thank you, Lord. We know Jesus is coming again. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until that day comes, help us to labor on for you, to support the work of the gospel, Lord. We do pray for an ingathering of souls in our own community, but indeed in our land and throughout the farthest corners of the earth as well, we pray. So hear us this morning, we ask it. Speak to us afresh from your word. Bless us now as we gather around the Lord's table. May we know it was good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come into a time of communion, but before we come to the Lord's table, let's sing a communion hymn. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Let's rise and sing together.
Thank you.
Acts of the Apostle Paul, for I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and eat of the bread and of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Amen. Now, as we come before the Lord's table then, let's give thanks. I'm going to lead in prayer and give thanks for the bread, which reminds us of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for sinners like us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, and we come to the Lord's table, and we remember your only begotten Son. Thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior, to be the Redeemer. And Lord, we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, Lord, but spiritual death. And Lord, eternal death as well, separation from you. But in Christ there is hope, in him there is redemption, through his blood even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that he has paid the price for sin. He was nailed to the cross, and he was beaten, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He was nailed to the cross and died a painful death, but he bore in his body on the tree, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. He's paid the price, Heavenly Father. And thank you, Lord, that we have hope, Lord God, if we know and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've been saved from our sins, saved from our lost eternity, saved from separation and eternal death. But we have been saved by your grace and have a great hope for the days that we're living in and indeed the life to come. Accept our thanks this morning as we take the bread which reminds us of the body of our Savior, broken for sinners like us. May we receive it with glad and thankful hearts, ever glad for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would someone now like to give thanks for the cup reminding us of our Saviour's blood shed for sinners? Heavenly Father, as we've gathered around the Lord's table one more time, thank you for so great salvation, all because of Jesus. Thank you, he's risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore. He's coming again someday for his blood-bought people. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know this feast is only till he comes, and till that day, help us to labour on faithfully for you. In his name we pray this morning. Told in the scripture at the Last Supper after they had broken bread, the sang a hymn, so then they went to sing, the servant came, from heaven you came, help us speak. Let us rise as we're able and sing together.
Thank you.
Okay, now I've got one or two intermissions before we have our scripture reading this morning. I do hope you're all hearing me loud and clear now. It seems to be a bit of a microphone issue a bit earlier in the service. But we do welcome you along to our service this day. Just the heads up for the coming week. Knit and Natter tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then the children's meeting is tomorrow night at 6:30. We can give you a heads up that the children's meeting social is next Monday, the 23rd of March at 6:30 p.m., to which everyone is invited. We'd encourage you to go along and support it if you are able. Now, the Pilates will just be the usual times this week, Tuesday night, 6 to 7, Wednesday, 9:30 till 10:30 in the morning, then Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday night Bible study, Bible reading and prayer meeting is at 7:30 again this week, and we're still going through John's Gospel. I can see there's still a couple of books, I think, left there. So, I mean, if you haven't got one, take it away with you. And we're going through John's Gospel. I think if you're keeping up to date with the readings, you should be on chapter 10 today, the Good Shepherd, the story of the teaching on the Good Shepherd. Now, next week, God willing, the speaker is Dr. Kevin Deans. So these are all the intimations I believe I need to make. Now, scripture reading this morning. We are, of course, coming up to the Easter season. Just 3 weeks' time, God willing, it'll be Easter. So turn with me this morning to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. So here's a message this morning, really on the build-up to the crucifixion. This account takes place in the build-up to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, reading initially from verse 27. Mark 14, verse 27. The scene is the upper room. And Jesus, verse 27, Mark 14, reading from verse 27. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, but not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And go with me to verse 66. Verse 66. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." He went out into the gateway, and the cock crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." Again he denied it, and after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them. You are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the cock crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Amen. So before we look at this passage this morning, we look at the account of how Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing. Let's sing, rise and sing as we're able. "Master, speak, thy servant heareth." Pray before we come to the Word of God together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Speak to us from your Word. Teach us by your Spirit and be glorified in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There are two people on trial in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ and Simon Peter. Because now, although Jesus is the one who is arrested and tried, it is Peter who grabs our attention in the verses that we've been reading this morning. The scene is the upper room. We're actually told in Mark's Gospel that they'd sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. So it starts in the upper room, moves on then out to the Mount of Olives. At the Last Supper, Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples. And on that night, he predicted that they would all desert him. Is that quite remarkable? Having been 3 years with Jesus Christ, they're all going to desert him. Now we know that one of them will betray him for 30 pieces of silver. But Jesus speaks to those who are with him. He says, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus had a particular message for Simon Peter. And he said, "You truly, I tell you this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me
three times. You will deny me three times. Now, Peter, being Peter, okay, he's brash and he's quick to speak. Okay, we find in Scripture he's a good man, mightily used by God, but he has his faults, he's got his failings, his rough edges. And Peter, being Peter, declares, even though they all fall away, I will not. And he goes on to say, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. He says, it's also recorded in Luke's Gospel, even though I've got to go to prison and to death, I will never deny you. I'm told they all say the same thing. Christ knew better, though, he said, truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Worth pointing this out, though. I'll refer to this later on. In the account in Luke's Gospel, he says, when you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Okay, that's something significant which we'll see, I hope, later on. But Christ knows what's going to happen. Let's consider then, we're going to look at the fall of Peter and just go on this journey with him and see just what happened. And we begin just by looking this morning at how subtle are the steps which lead a Christian to fall. And lead the Christian, lead the follower of Christ to this position where he would deny his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go through the steps. What's the first one that you can see in the Scripture? Number one, pride. Self-confidence, proud self-confidence. Here's the first step in the fall of Peter, and therefore the first steps by which people can fall into great sins. Look at him. So all the other disciples deny Jesus Christ. Here's the one that's never going to. He's going to stick with him through thick and thin, and even to the point of death. He's even willing to die with him. I'll never do that. You know, if someone thinks that's something I would never do, there's one thing I would never do, then I would suggest it's the thing that they should most carefully guard against. Sadly, in our news today, we're seeing lots of news reports about wars. It's been like that for this last few years, hasn't it? Wars and fighting. You know, in previous wars and battles, castles and fortresses and war bases were usually captured, how? By the route which seemed to be invincible, the route that seemed to be unattackable, where the defenders would have been off guard. Satan is subtle, and he will attack Christians and he will attack churches at a point where we are most likely to be unprepared. Scotch preacher Robert Murray McShane said, I am tempted to think there are no sins for which I have no natural taste, such as strong drink, profane language, etc. This is a lie, a proud, presumptuous lie. The seeds of all sins are in my heart, and perhaps all the more dangerously that I do not see them. Maybe the things we think they can handle, that we can, maybe there are things we think we can handle, but if we're not careful, they'll handle us. In the Bay of Naples, apparently, I'm not an expert on animals and wildlife, and especially sea creatures, but in the Bay of Naples, there is a certain type of jellyfish that loves to swallow a certain type of snail. The trouble is, well, what do snails have? Hard shells. So the trouble is, the snail has such a hard shell that the soft jellyfish cannot digest it. So you know what happens instead? The jellyfish tries to eat the snail, but the snail then attaches itself onto the inside of the jellyfish and begins to eat it instead. Now, in the same way, there are lots of things we maybe think we can handle, but they'll end up eating us. They'll end up consuming us. Now, that can be different things. For some people, it is. It might be strong drink, as Robert Murray McShane pointed out. It might just simply be greed, riches. It might be different pressures that we think we can handle. There's all sorts of different things. We've got to know, really. We've got to be on our guard. We don't know where the weakness is. Be on our guard against pride. Know where the weakness is, but also be aware of our strengths, where we think we're strong. We've got to always be on our guard And we've certainly got to be on our guard against pride. Let's be realistic about ourselves, because no matter how long ago it is since we became a Christian, we've got to remember we're still fallen creatures in a fallen world. We've got to be realistic about ourselves. So let's be on our guard always. Let's not live on past victories, past strengths, past encouragements, but let's always be coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Saviour, and bowing to his word. Okay, Peter neglected Christ's word, and he thought he knew better, but let's be realistic and let's keep coming back to the Lord and bowing to his word and to his way. Let's be on our guard and heed the scriptures and heed the warnings. Okay, that's one step in the fall of Peter, proud self-confidence. A reminder to be on our guard. But something else we need to be on our guard against as well. Neglect, here's the second step you'll see in the fall of Peter, neglect of prayer. Neglect of prayer, and really staying in touch with God, isn't it? Because you could also include here a neglect, we could also say another step in the fall of a Christian. It's not just neglect of prayer, but neglecting the word. Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane to pray with his disciples. And he gave them instructions. Sit here while I pray. And he says, later on he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus withdrew from them then. So he told them to pray. He withdrew. He returned. They were asleep. He withdrew again. When he returned, same thing happened. And then a third time, you see it in verse 41. He came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? And the disciples then, including Peter, neglected their duty to pray. Jesus wanted them to pray. He wanted them to pray so they would not be diverted from their faith due to a time of trial and testing that was just about to come on them. But despite his urging, despite his warning, despite his repeated warnings, they fell asleep. It's very important that we don't fall asleep as Christians or as a church. When our Lord commands us to watch and pray, we need to take heart, take it to heart. Watch and pray. A young man was at the university, and he was so engrossed in his preparing for his final exams, taking up with extracurricular activities, that he neglected to write home for 5 weeks. Now, this is some time ago, so this is before the days of WhatsApp and Facebook and the social media, and even before the days of emails. Can you imagine, can you remember those days? Well, this is somebody, anyway, forgot to phone home and forgot to write home. He neglected, anyway, to keep in touch with his parents for 5 weeks. Then eventually, after 5 weeks, the letter went home. Dad opened the letter, and this is what it said. The inevitable consequence of me not writing home for 5 weeks is that I am now skint. You know something? The inevitable consequence of us not keeping in touch with our Heavenly Father is that we'll be skint spiritually. Spiritual bankruptcy. We'll be ineffective and useless in our Christian life and witness. Watch and pray and listen to the word of Christ. See, Peter's become confident. He hasn't listened to Christ's word. You will deny me 3 times. A warning to Peter. Just heeded the word of the Lord, and he's neglected his duty to prayer. So you see this first 2 steps, pride, self-confidence, he knows better. Okay, he knows he's okay. He's on the road. Okay, he's been on the road for some time now. Pride, neglect of prayer, neglecting to keep in touch with God. You see a third step in the fall of Peter? Something happens here. He gets into the wrong company. He gets in with the wrong company. Scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, that verse is often applied to marriage, that a believer shouldn't marry a non-believer. Now, it can be applied that way, but I think it's in general you know, saying as well, not to be unequally yoked, to be to enter into, you know, the wrong company, to be surrounded by non-believers, to be an ungodly company. We'd have to expound that verse in more detail. It would take a bit more time to do so. But we're not to enter into ungodly alliances, really. The wrong company. Judas appears. This is what happens with Peter. Judas appears with a crowd of men. He betrays Jesus with a kiss. Jesus was arrested. They seize him, lead him away, and take him to the high priest's house. What do we read about Peter here? Where's he? He, we're told in verse 54, Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Why would he sit with the guards? Why would he sit with the guards? He's sitting down with others in the high priest's courtyard. He's now in amongst the wrong company. He's now sitting with the enemy. If he just simply had stayed in the background, he would have escaped notice. He is, in a sense, unequally yoked. He's surrounded by unbelievers in a situation now which makes him very vulnerable. See the steps there in the fall of Peter. You can also add to that, he's a man that's tired, okay? It's been a long night. And he's neglected his duty to prayer. When he's supposed to be praying, he's sleeping as well. So that's just as a principle in that as well, you know, to make sure that we take care of ourselves and make sure that we rest well and that we're alert. But his pride, he's proud, he's self-confident. He neglects the word and he neglects prayer and he gets in with the wrong crowd. These are some steps. There will be others as well that lead to the fall of a Christian. Satan is subtle and we need to always be on our guard. But the night is long. Peter's not wanting to talk to anyone. He's probably puzzled and depressed because the Lord has been arrested. He may have been wondering, why has the Lord allowed this to happen? In his bewilderment, he sits down with others by the fire, which has been lit in the courtyard. And then a servant girl notices Peter in the flickering light, and she recognizes him there in verse 67. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." She was sure of it, but despite her firm assertion, he denies it. He denies it. As he denies it, we're told here, as in Mark's gospel, verse 68, that the cock crowed. Now, that should have been a warning to Peter. Get out. Get out now. Okay, you've done it once. Okay, get out now. But he stays. And you can see as well, he stays. And the servant girl saw him. And again, she said to the bystander, "This man is one of them." And then he denies a second time, and after a little while, now notice a little expression there, after a little while, there's time for him to think about what he's doing as well, time to reflect on what Christ has said to him, time to reflect on what's going on. But Peter stays, and he denies Christ a second time, and then a third time, as well. Again, we're told after a little while, when there's been time to reflect, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, you are a Galilean." All right, so how do they know he's a Galilean? Does he have a t-shirt on? "I'm from Galilee," or whatever. People from Galilee, quite simple actually, just he had a different accent. Okay, he would have had a northern accent, so it would be like somebody coming from Inverness down to the Broch and they'd say, "You're for the Highlands." Okay. People from Galilee spoke with a northern accent, and no one from that area of the country would have any reason to be in the high priest's courtyard that night. Peter replies, okay, it's three times now he's accused, and Peter replies, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And it says here as well, the denial is so strong, it's accompanied by a string of swear words. See how far a Christian can fall as well. We need to be on our guard. Think about Peter. Who was he? He had more privileges than you or I will have. He's one of the 12. He's received more blessings than most. What's more, he had a warning. There's a danger lying ahead. He had a warning from Christ. Yet he also had the time to reflect on what was going on. As we see, he's been told, he's been warned what's going to happen. He's been warned not to neglect prayer. But he denies, all through it all, at the end of the account here, he denies Christ repeatedly. After intervals, giving him the time to reflect, he denies Christ once, twice, three times. You know, Peter may have thought, you know, he's a proud man. He's thinking, maybe I've arrived. I'm on the road. I've arrived. I've been with Christ three years now. I know all these wonderful teachings he's been saying. You know something? We might have a good Christian testimony. We might be a good example of what a Christian should be. We've maybe received praise for things that we've done. We've maybe had past victories. We may have been Christians for many years. But we need to guard against complacency. Are we growing in our Christian life, walk and witness? Are we learning from how God has led us? If we do not watch and pray, and if the grace of God does not hold us up, we may come crashing down, spiritually bankrupt, ineffective in our walk with Christ, perhaps even being a stumbling block to others. Instead of being on the road, you'll be in the road. However good our conduct may seem, just remember, as McShane said, the seeds of all sin are in my heart. However good your outward conduct may seem, inwardly we need to remember that sin is still there. Don't dwell on your strengths. Don't indulge in them. Don't indulge in past victories. Indulge in Christ. Dwell in him. He's our strength and our refuge. It's him, to him we go to. Let's keep going to God day by day. Watch and pray, and learn to, as the prophet Micah says, to walk humbly before God. Hard lesson. Hard lesson. We like to think good of ourselves, don't we? We're proud by nature. There's a story about a lady who discovered that the bathroom scales would weigh a bit lighter if she was to stand on her left foot rather than on her right. The scales were off balance, so if you put the pressure on her left foot rather than on her right, the scales would register lighter. She wanted to be lighter, so she took comfort in putting the pressure on her left foot. We're a bit like that. I mean, I hope if you've ever done that, you're not going to admit to it, are you? But we want to believe the best of ourselves. We are proud. We like to hear when people say good things about us. We have to come to the Word of God, really. We've got to always come back to the Word of God. Beware of pride, it's a sin. Come to the Word of God. Come to the Word of God, the teachings of our Savior, and remember, the Word of God shows us what we really are like. No false springs, no positions of balance. When we come to the Bible, pride will be slain and Christ will be exalted. That's how it should be. So, it's quite a depressing story, isn't it? You've seen how the steps that lead to the fall of a Christian. You've seen how far it's possible to fall, but there is good news. Because let's consider, as well as we're coming up to the Easter time, let's always remember how great is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as soon as Peter gives that third denial, there's two things that happen, isn't there? Two things that happen. Number one, you see in verse 72, a cock crows. And secondly, Peter remembers the words that the Lord has spoken, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. He broke bricks down and wept, or as Luke puts it, he went out and wept bitterly. You know, the cock crowing and remembering the words that Jesus had spoken would have shocked Peter. And as the bystanders were watching Jesus, Peter slipped, he goes out and he slips off and he wept bitterly. But remember how great is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, because think about this. Think about it. For a cock to crow at that exact time, right, the second denial, the third denial rather, has come out from Peter. So the cock crows at that exact time while all the other birds in the city remain silent. What a coincidence, isn't it? No, I don't think so. It's a miracle. It's a miracle for that to happen. It's more than a miracle, it's a message. It's a message, a special message to Peter. Luke's gospel actually tells us that when the cock crowed, not only did Peter remember the word of the Lord, but Jesus looked straight at Peter. Peter would have been cut to the heart. It's all happening, but it's a message to Peter. But you know something? It's also a message that helped to bring him back into fellowship and bring him back onto the right path, because it told him a few things. It tells him that, number one, what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's in control, even as a prisoner. Even as a prisoner. Peter had witnessed the Lord's authority over fish, wind, waves, disease, and even death. No matter how dark the hour was for Peter, Christ was in control. Even when he's bound and about to face trial and even execution, Christ was the Lord. Let's remember that today. However dark the hour, for us as Christians, for us as a church, we need to remember Jesus Christ is Lord. He's in control. It's also a message to Peter because it tells him he can be forgiven. He hadn't paid attention to the word of God, as we've seen. He hasn't prayed. He's neglected his duties. He's denied Christ. He disobeyed the word of God. But now we're told in verse 72 that he remembered what Jesus had said to him. So he remembers the word of God. And that brings him hope. Why? Well, when Christ, I mentioned this earlier, when Christ warned him that he was going to fall, he also gave him an encouragement, which we're told about in Luke's gospel, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So he will be restored again. He will be forgiven. He still has a ministry. And when the cock crowed, it also said something else. It said to Peter that a new day is beginning. Isn't that what the cock crow means? I've never lived out in the countryside, but isn't that what a cock crowing means? And isn't that why you look at your breakfast cereal box if you have cornflakes in the morning? What's on the box? Picture of a cock, cockerel, okay? A new day is beginning, okay, when you have your breakfast, okay, and you see the picture of the cockerel or the chicken, whatever you want to call it, okay? A new day is beginning. A new day is beginning for Peter as he goes and he weeps bitterly and he repents. He would say with Job, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And on the resurrection morning, the angel sent a special message to Peter. When the woman go to the empty tomb, the angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter, Mark 16, verse 7. So there's a special message for Peter, and the Lord then, read about it at the end of John's gospel, the Lord appears to Peter and restores him to fellowship. He raises him up again to be a great servant in the early church. A mighty man of God. Has his flaws, but he's a mighty man of God who's used greatly. What are we to make as we've looked at Peter's denial this morning? All of us will at times deny and fail the Lord. All of us will have our fallings. All of us will have a moment in our life, more than once, when we will hear the cock crow. Satan will come in and tell us we're finished. We've got no future. So put all the tools down. You're no use now. You can't serve God. That's not what God says. That's not what God shows in his word. Peter was not finished. Peter was completely restored. As I said, he was raised up to be a great servant in the church, the early church of God. And of course, we have his writings and his teachings right up to the present day. He knew the experience that John wrote about when he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sorrow shown by Peter, okay, he goes out, he weeps bitterly. The sorrow shown by Peter comes with true repentance. The fall of the true Christian ends in conviction and amendment of life. Now, that's the difference. That's a difference we see between Peter and Judas. He's filled with remorse. What he's done, he's been found out. He's done something wrong. Feels sorry for himself. He takes his life. He was never saved, Judas. Peter, though, repents and comes back to the Lord. The fall of the true Christian ends in conviction and amendment of life. Now, maybe if you've heard the cock crow, you maybe need to come to a place of repentance where you get down and you're broken before God. You need to repent of something. You know, you need to examine. We all need to examine our hearts. We need to just get before the Lord and weep bitterly. But as we hear these things, let's make sure we do make the right use of Peter's fall. It is not an excuse just to sin and say, I'll get off with it. It's not an excuse to sin. Let us learn a few things. To heed the word of God, to watch and pray, yes, we fall into temptation. But let's remember, though, that when we fall, I'm not going to say if we fall, when we fall, there's hope, just as there was hope for Peter. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To move on, though, we must repent, as Peter did, so we can move on in Christian life and service. Let us learn, then, as we close this morning, to trust in the Lord. Let us examine our hearts in the light of Scripture, not leaning past victories and past blessings, but to keep coming back to the Lord, examine our hearts in the light of Scripture, and let us go to Him always, and let us rest on His unfailing love. But let's always remember this as well. It is possible for anyone who has denied the Lord, as it was for Peter, it is possible for those who have denied the Lord to rise again and defy the world. Amen. Amen. So as we close, we're going to sing the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Let's rise and sing together.
Thank you.
So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Cause us to examine our hearts and indeed to apply your word to it. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. And let us learn from what we've learned about Simon Peter this morning, to guard our hearts, Lord, and help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us, Lord, remember if when we fail you, Lord, that you are a God of grace, and we can come back in repentance and faith, Lord, and be renewed in our walk with you. Cleanse us of our sin, we pray. Thank you for this time in the house of the Lord this morning. We pray that you'd go before us, and your grace, mercy, and peace would be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.